tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word. Thank you so much for time that we can come together as a church family and enjoy fun together and enjoy fellowship. And I pray that our time would be glorifying to you and edifying to one another. We ask as we just spend this brief time in your word that you would use it greatly, as your word is powerful and the Spirit can work in hearts. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Maybe you're looking back on this past year and you think back on this year, and maybe there are some, you would look back on 2019 with fondness and say that it has been a wonderful year for you. I hope, and I think I can confidently say this, that we as a Bible church could look back on year 2019 as a church family and say that this was a wonderful year of God's gracious mercy at work, bringing in new folks and seeing people saved and people baptized and new members added to the church. And that has just been exciting. And but each of us, of course, have our individual lives as well. And maybe you're looking back and remember, yes, some wonderful things, but also some difficult things, maybe trials that you faced, or maybe other things such as personal struggle with sin, and maybe things that nobody else knows about, things that nobody knows you did, things that maybe if you think back, they are some of the ugliest parts of your life. And I think if we're all honest, we can look back and, unless you're a liar, say that 2019, though it's been hopefully a good year of growth in Christ, has also been a year of battling sin and struggling with sin, and that would be the testimony of every one of us. And so going into the new year, I wanted to consider, and as a church, and ask ourselves, what is the number one goal, or what ought to be the number one goal of a believer? Now, the chief end of all is to do what? Bring glory to God. Bring glory to God. That's what we're created for. If you boil everything down to one thing, we are in existence to glorify God. Let me ask this question, though. Let's go further. How? What is the means, the ultimate means, by which a believer glorifies God? And I would say we get that answer in Philippians 3, and of course throughout all of Scripture, as it points to a believer's life and what we are to be doing as believers. But if you have your Bible or a Bible app maybe on your phone, you could look at Philippians 3, verse 7. It says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of this, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." So let me ask, what is the goal of a believer? How do we bring glory to God? By knowing whom? Knowing Christ. He says, "There is a surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be made found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." So in short, he says right there, he is justified by one thing, his faith in Christ. So this is not Paul switching to work salvation in any way. All right? He's saying, I am justified by faith, but because I'm justified by faith, I want to know the one who has given that faith, the object of my faith, Jesus. And to know Jesus surpasses all other things. As the song says, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. You can have houses or lands, wealth, gold, rubies, diamonds, being famous. But all of those things pale in comparison to knowing Christ. Verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. As we've been considering Romans chapter 6, we see that as we believe in Christ, we are united with him, right? In his death and his burial, but then also in his resurrection, right? And so he goes on and he says, the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, what is Paul talking about there? The resurrection from the dead. What's his point there? If spiritually, in our unity with Christ, in our spiritual baptism, we have been crucified, the old man has been crucified, we've been buried with him, but we've been raised up in new spiritual life, haven't we already received that resurrection? Well, spiritually we have, but have we received it fully yet? The answer, of course, is what? No, not yet. When will we receive that? When we see Christ. What passage do we get that from? 1 Corinthians chapter, anybody know? The lucky number? 15. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the old things passing away, the carnal, the flesh passing so that there can be new life, right? And that when we see Christ in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be like him. That is our glorification. All right, we've talked about this. You have justification, sanctification, and glorification. In a simpler way, you could say this. You have positional sanctification. You're made holy in Christ. Progressive sanctification is your process of becoming more like Christ practically. And then you have final sanctification when you die and see Christ, or Christ returns and you see him, and you are practically, finally, completely made like Christ in the sense that you no longer struggle with what? Sin. You have a resurrected body that is no longer tainted by sin. And that is what he says he's pressing on to, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So he says, I keep looking to know Christ better and better and better, of which there is no comparable value, knowing Christ, so that one day I will be like him. And this is our section that we'll consider this evening very briefly. Verse 12, we'll learn a few truths about our progressive sanctification looking towards our final sanctification. So I'm going to just read it slowly. And we're going to really park in verses 13 through 16. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ. He says, brethren, I want to make the first point. Sanctification is for all believers. Sanctification is for all believers. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the author of a vast amount of books of the Bible, the one whose writing is responsible, humanly speaking, for millions of believers throughout all of history, he calls us brethren, recognizing what? We are alongside of him. He's not some superhero. He is just like us, a follower of Christ. He is our brother in Christ. Wow. If you think you're above progressive sanctification, sorry, newsflash, you're not. But if you think you're below progressive sanctification, newsflash, you're not. If you've trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been brought to new life, and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. And you are neither above nor below being progressively sanctified. Look to Christ and remember your elder brother who purchased you and redeemed you. So number one, sanctification is for all. And he says, brethren, verse 13, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. In other words, sanctification is not completely attainable. All right, sanctification isn't completely attainable. Paul had not obtained it yet. God was using Paul greatly. He's writing books of the Bible, but he recognizes he's not yet obtained his final sanctification. It's not something you get while you're here on this earth. It's something you get when you see Christ. But don't get confused. That doesn't mean you don't push towards it and work towards it as God works in you. But we have to recognize you will never have a day that comes where you're sinless. Practically. You're sinless before God and you're standing in Christ. But there will never be a day where practically you no longer struggle with sin. If you say you do not sin, you make God out to be a liar. So, sanctification is for all, but we recognize sanctification, complete sanctification, is not attainable. It's given by Christ. We also see he states, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, forgetting what lies. Somebody can finish this. Forgetting what lies. Almost. Forgetting what lies behind. All right. Forgetting what lies behind. So sanctification doesn't dwell on the past. Sanctification does not dwell on the past. You forget about the things behind. Paul, earlier on in Philippians 3, he says, the Pharisees and these what were called Judaizers, these dogs who want to add works onto the gospel, he says, listen, they want to boast in the flesh. If anybody can boast in the flesh, it's me. That's what Paul says. But he says, listen, I count all of those boasts in the flesh as nothing compared to knowing Christ, because knowing Christ is what makes me righteous. So he forgets what lies behind. So brothers and sisters, let me encourage you, all of your victories, praise God for them, but forget about them. Not in the sense that you just have them completely out of your mind. In this sense, don't dwell upon past victories to puff yourself up in pride today. I'll give a brief illustration. It's like a team who wins the World Series once and rejoices in that one win for the next 100 years of the franchise. Right? They win once in... it makes me think of the Red Sox, all right? The Red Sox went a very long time without winning a World Series. And I can tell you, as a fan of the Red Sox growing up in New Hampshire, we didn't look back to before the curse of Babe Ruth, right? The so-called curse, and say, hey, it's okay that we don't win anymore. We won way back then, before I was even born. No, we wanted a win, right? We wanted to continue going, not to give up and dwell on the past. And that's what Paul is saying here, is forget those things which lay behind you, move forward. So, let me also say this. Leave your failures behind you as well. There's two dangers. You can dwell on victories of the past, which cause you to fail now, or you can dwell on failures of your past, which will cause you to do what? Fail now as well. Forget those things which lie behind. So sanctification doesn't dwell on the past. And then he says, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, sanctification is looking where? Forward. It's moving forward. Keep your eyes on Christ through God's word. He is the author of your faith. He's the finisher of our faith. He is our all. It's basically 2 Corinthians 3, which we heard preached recently, right? And we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, change from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That you are beholding Christ in the mirror of God's word, and you're being changed into image and closer and closer and closer to Christ by the work of the Spirit as you behold the glory of Christ in God's word. You fix your eyes ahead. So sanctification is for all. Sanctification isn't completely attainable yet. Sanctification does not dwell on the past. Rather, sanctification looks forward. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. I'm going to say this, sanctification affects all aspects of your life. Maybe you're wondering, okay, what does he mean? Let us therefore as many as are perfect. Pastor Kevin, you just said none of us are perfect without sin, practically. This word perfect can be also mean complete. So let me ask, we sang a song on Sunday, complete in thee. Complete in who? Who's the thee? Christ. We are complete in Christ. Even though we're not yet glorified in resurrected bodies and sinless, we have all that we need in Christ Jesus right now at this moment. You are complete. In other words, the word that's used here in our translation is you are perfect. Who are those who are perfect? Every single one of us. So let us therefore, as many are perfect, or you could say simply believers in Christ, if you have any, have this attitude, the attitude which Paul is having, and he says, if you don't have this attitude in something, God will reveal that also to you. So what's he saying? If you don't have the proper biblical attitude in an area of your life, God will do what? Continue to sanctify you and make your attitude right in that area. So what should be our response? We pray that if there are areas in which we're not having a proper biblical view, that God would convict us and give us a heart that recognizes not only the struggle, but the need for growth, dependence on Christ. And lastly, sanctification shouldn't move backwards. So you continue on in the text. He says, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. In other words, brothers and sisters, strive with all your might to hold fast and keep moving upstream. Don't give up. Don't be carried down the current. Keep your eyes fixed ahead. Look to the Savior. Keep climbing, keep running, and keep fighting to be more like Christ and to know Him better. No matter the victories of 2019, leave them behind and keep seeking victory going forward. No matter the failures of 2019, leave them behind. Pray that God would open your eyes to areas in your life which you're not having the proper attitude and move forward. If I could snap my finger and go anywhere in the world at this moment, not at this moment because it would be really cold, but one of the places I would choose to go would be the Baker River in northern New Hampshire, near where I grew up. During the summer, it's a beautiful crystal clear river running down granite carved out by the water. There are trout swimming in it, and the fishing is great, and the swimming is great as well. You can stand on the edges of this river and look down, and it's only about 6 feet wide, and at some points will be 15 to 20 feet deep. You can see the rocks as if they were right there, and there was nothing between you and them, except for the fish swimming through. You put on goggles, and you can swim in this river. Yes, it's freezing, but you can swim in this river, and it's like swimming in an aquarium. There are some caves under the waterfalls, and this beautiful piece of God's creation was relaxing and an awesome place to be. But if you went there in the springtime, as the mountain snow was melting, you would hear from far away not the peaceful flow of a river for fishing and swimming, but rather a roar of a raging river that would be dangerous. A torrent that if you got too close to, you would be swept away and drowned. That's the world that we live in. This world, the culture we live in, the programs on TV, the games on gaming systems, the ads on TV, the radio and the billboards are an awful torrent of trash and sin seeking to pull us away from knowing Christ and living for Him. So I leave us with this encouragement for the end of the year. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. For one day we'll see Christ, and in the twinkling of an eye we'll be like Him. And what a day that will be. The struggle will be over. But while the struggle remains, struggle. Fight. Don't give in. Seek to know Christ, because knowing Christ surpasses all else. Father, help us to be a church family which seeks to know you and you alone. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.